Host your holiday events at the National Gallery. Whether you're throwing a corporate party or small gathering, we have the perfect venue for your festive celebration, from our beautiful sculpture gardens to exhibition halls and art studio. For inquiries, contact events at nationalgallery.org.ky or call 345-945-8111.
Become a National Gallery volunteer and enjoy access to creative experiences while making a difference in our community. Volunteers play a key role in the gallery's success, from greeting visitors in our exhibition hall to working events and helping with our education programs. There are many ways to support. We offer flexible opportunities and training for all volunteers. Sign up by emailing info@nationalgallery.org.ky or visiting our website at nationalgallery.org.ky.
Hello and welcome to Artbeat, a new radio show by the National Gallery of the Cayman Islands, where we discuss the latest developments in Cayman's art scene, featuring in-depth interviews with local creatives and community partners. I'm Maya Mutu, Education Manager.
I'm Jessica Ebanks, Community Engagement Coordinator.
On today's show, intellectual property expert Candace Westby discusses copyright, trademarks, design rights, and online presence as part of our Business of Art program, a free ongoing series of professional development webinars to support creative and small business. If you're a creative or small business owner looking to grow your skill set, keep listening.
So welcome again, everybody. Mrs. Westby here is the Acting Director of the Cayman Islands Intellectual Property Office, or CIPO, a department of the Cayman Islands Government's Ministry of Investment, Innovation, and Social Development. At CIPO, she is responsible for managing the office and staff, the issuing of legal rights for all areas of IP, carrying out research, and developing policy and administration. Prior to joining the government, Mrs. Westby served as a Crown Counsel and Deputy Registrar of Intellectual Property for the Belize Intellectual Property Office. She examined over thousands of trademark applications, issued hundreds of patent examination letters, as well as managed the office and staff of the Belize Intellectual Property Office. She also represented the government of Belize at the General Assemblies of the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva, Switzerland, and was elected vice chair of the Hague Assembly for the 2013 to 2014 biennium. Mrs. Westby has 9 years of experience dealing with IP matters. She holds a Bachelor of Laws from the University of the West Indies, Cave Hill Campus, Barbados, and a legal education certificate from the Norman Manley's Law School in Kingston, Jamaica. She was called to the Bar of Belize in February 2013 as an attorney at law. So with that, I would like to introduce Mrs. Candace Westby. So I'll hand it over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paige. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. It's a bit different delivering this presentation virtually as I'm used to having that in person, but I'll try my best to keep you guys interested and entertained. Let me just get my slide up here. Okay, let's get started. So, of course, I must, as an attorney, start off this presentation just with a little disclaimer that the presentation is solely intended for educational purposes. Unfortunately, I can't give you legal advice as it relates to your intellectual property matters, but I'm hoping that by going through this presentation, you will be a little bit clearer as to your IP rights and will be able to navigate where you should go as it relates to your intellectual property rights. So starting off, we have a quote here from Michelangelo where he says, "A man paints with his brains and not with his hands." And I start off with this because when we think of intellectual property and we ask ourselves, what is intellectual property? It is actually simply creations of the mind. Your intellectual property, and I think a lot of people have difficulty sometimes grasping the concept because we can't see it, right? It's not tangible. But intellectual property refers to all creations of the mind. It is in every product that we use. Every product or service that we use is as a result of some innovation, such as a new design, a process, an invention, a logo, and in the case of copyright, new music, art and architecture, and so many other things fall under intellectual property rights. So IP can be found in every single product and even in services. I give the example here for a refrigerator. The trademark protects the name or the logo of the manufacturer, and then the parts and process that keep the food cold would come under the IP rights of patents or inventions. And then the style of the refrigerator, the shape, etc., would be covered by design rights. We call them industrial designs, design rights, or in the US they call them design patents. And then the refrigerator's manual would be protected by copyright. So you can see in this one product, you have four different areas of intellectual property. I'm going to go through all four areas. Of course, the focus will be on copyright, but I just want you to be aware of the four areas. Even though majority of you might be artists, it's still important to know these four areas just in case they might apply to some part of your business. Nowadays with the art world, it's not just about the actual art, but you have to do branding and all these things. So I think you will find the other areas of IP to be of interest as well. So when you have intellectual property rights, as a creator, you acquire exclusive rights as a result of your work, and that is called your intellectual property rights, or IPRs. Intellectual property rights are treated as personal property. So the same way you can own your car, you own your home, etc., you own your intellectual property rights. They're personal property. And as a result of that, you can assign your intellectual property rights, meaning you can will them, in your passing, you can pass them on to your heirs, or you can license them, and we know that as royalties. So they are private property rights. And the four main areas of IP that I alluded to earlier are trademarks, patents, industrial designs or design rights, and copyright. So let's jump to designs. If you are a jewelry maker, if you are, let's say you design sandals, you craft them with your hands, you create some new design of sandals, for example, these are all covered by industrial designs, design rights, design patents. These refer to the ornamental or aesthetic aspects of your product. So basically just the shape of that product. They may consist of 3D features such as the shape or the surface of the product. And they may also consist of 2D features such as patterns, lines, or colors. If you think of indigenous peoples and you think of the patterns of certain indigenous people in South America, the patterns on their weaving and so on, that can be protected as design rights. So here are some examples, some more concrete examples of what can be protected as design rights. Technical and medical instruments like a microscope, the shape of a microscope. New watch designs can be protected as design rights. Jewelry and other luxury items, as I mentioned earlier, housewares and electrical appliances. There are all these new designs of air fryers and toasters and all these things. Those would be protected as design rights. The shape of a vehicle, architectural structures, textile designs, and leisure goods. The shape of a pair of sneakers can be protected as a design rights. So just the shape of these products, it has to go to the shape and not the function. If the shape contributes to the function in any way, then it would not be registrable as a design. In order to register designs in Cayman at the moment, you would need to first register that design with the UK IPO and then extend that right to us. We have passed laws here in Cayman to have direct registration, but they have not commenced as yet. Hopefully within the next year or so, you will be able to file your design right application directly with SIPO. But for now, you have to register it with the UK IPO. And then once it's registered, you have 5 years. The duration of protection is for 5 years from the date you file it. And you can renew that protection every 5 years for a total of 25 years. So that's how long your design right would be protected. Just a little note here about design rights, and the same goes for patents. If you have a new design of something, you want to keep that design a secret until you file that application, if you plan to register. Because once it's been disclosed to the public, then you lose the right to file. So in all instances, if you're pitching your new design to some company, etc., ensure that you have non-disclosure agreements in place and so on, so that you can protect that until you filed. There are some protections under the UK law for unregistered designs, but that protection would be for a shorter period than if you were to apply for registration through the office. The next IP area is trademarks, and I'm sure we're all familiar with trademarks, and this is what we call brand or logos. And this is, trademarks are a unique way of identifying your product or service from another product or service. And as I mentioned earlier, nowadays, as artists and creators, most artists and creators have to develop a brand alongside their artwork. And it's important that if you have a brand associated with your art or your creative works, that you also register that trademark. And that is another layer of protection you can add to your work. In order for you to be able to use the R with the circle around it saying your work is registered, your brand is registered, you'd have to file for protection. Through our office, you file an application, a trademark application for registration. And your trademark can be words. For example, it can be your name. Most artists' brand would be their name, or most creatives. You can also use letters, a combination of letters and numbers. It can be drawings, symbols. It can be drawings or symbols along with your name, the packaging of goods, colors. In some jurisdictions, you can also register sounds and smell. We are not at the moment accepting sound and smell marks in Cayman, but you never know, maybe in the future we will have that change to the law. If you notice, I also have designs there, because while you can register a design as a design writer, an industrial design, you can also register the drawing of a design as a trademark. Some brands do that for their bottles, particularly for the shape of their products. Like Coca-Cola, for example, would register the bottle as a trademark as well as a design right. And here I have a few examples of some local and international brands. And Google is actually, I think, the most valuable brand in the world at about $33 or $34 billion. So that trademark itself is worth that much. So register a trademark application in the Cayman Islands. You first must identify your mark. What is your brand? Design it if it's not a word mark. And then you must hire one of our registered agents to file that application on your behalf. You pay your application fees and your application goes through an examination process. Once it meets the requirements of the law, we will accept your application and publish it in our IP Gazette for 6 weeks. And then after that, for 60 days, sorry. And then after that, you get your registration certificate. If there are issues with your mark, then you would get an objection letter, but you do have time to respond to correct whatever irregularities are in your application, and then your application goes through the registration process. The reason your application is published in the Gazette is for the opposition period, and this is basically a period where a person can oppose the registration of your mark. For example, you have situations where you might have created a brand and somebody else files an application to register that brand with our office, and you were the original creator, then you can oppose that mark once it's published in the IP Gazette. You get 60 days to oppose the registration of that mark. So that time period is in there for persons who might have objections to the registration of that trademark. Once a trademark is registered, it is protected for 10 years from the date of the filing of your application. So even though it might take you 3 to 6 months to get your registration certificate, your registration goes back to the date of filing, and you can renew your registration for further periods of 10 years. So you can have your trademark registered or your brand registered for as many years as you continue to maintain your registration and renew it. Patents, which speaks to the title granted to an invention, is the area of IP that relates more to the science side of things. The invention would be the idea of an innovator, which permits you to solve some problem in a specific field. Usually it relates to technology, medical field, engineering, etc. So it has to, your invention has to be something that is new, meaning that it did not exist prior to your application. It can be obvious to someone in that area. So if you're an engineer and you come up with a new engineering machine, it can't be something that another person would have obviously created if they had done X, Y, and Z. So it has to be inventive, and it has to be able to be used. It can't not serve a purpose. It has to serve a purpose. Some things that you can't patent include literary, dramatic, musical, or artistic works, ways of doing business. In some jurisdictions, you can't patent medical treatment or diagnosis. You can't patent a mathematical method, the way information is presented, because most of these areas would be covered by copyright. So patents, and again, with all areas of IP, we don't protect ideas, but the expression of those ideas. A patent, like a design right, is currently registrable in the UK first, in the at the UK IPO, and then you would have that right extended here in the Cayman Islands. And the registration is for 20 years from the date of filing of that application. Now, the main area of IP that I know most persons here are interested in is copyright. And copyright is the legal protection given to the creator of an original work. The copyright law protects original literary, dramatic, musical, and artistic works, including illustrations and photography. Under an original non-literary written work, these are both under the literary umbrella of copyright. However, there's literary, as in illustration, photography, and so on, writing, written works, books, and then there are non-literary works such as software, apps, web content, and databases. So these also fall under copyright protection. Copyright also protects sound and music recordings, film and television recordings, broadcasts, and layout of published editions of written, dramatic, and musical works. Some things that you cannot protect under copyright would include titles, names, short phrases, and slogans. You would all these would fall under trademark. So you would protect titles, names, short phrases, and slogans as a trademark, right? You can't copyright principles, ideas. Again, you have to express those ideas. Concepts, discoveries, processes, and methods. So who is the owner of a copyright protected work? Well, the general rule is that a person who creates an original work is the first owner of that copyright in the work. And this also applies to commissioned work. But if you create that work in the course of your employment and it is a part of your job, it is a part of your role and responsibilities at your place of employment, then that work would belong to your employer. So if you are a photographer and you work for an ad agency and your job is to take pictures for that ad agency, then the copyright would belong to your employer. And where you create copyright protected works jointly with another person, then you would both own one or more persons, then you would all own the copyright protection equally. Each different area of copyright protection has a different duration of protection. Whereas with trademarks, we know it's 10 years from your filing date, designs is 5 years. Copyright depends on the type of work. So for written, dramatic, musical, and artistic work, it is 70 years after the author's death. So the year the author dies, it would be 70 years thereafter. So if you live to 100 years old, then your work would be protected for 170 years. Sound and music recordings would be 70 years from when it's first published. Films would be 70 years after the death of the director, screenplay, author, and composer. So the last person to die is when the duration would run. Broadcast is 50 years from when it's first broadcasted, and then for layout of published editions, it's 25 years from when it's first published. So how do you get protection? Unlike trademarks, designs, and patents where you have to register, you have to fill out an application and file that application with CIPO or the UK IPO, copyright protection is automatic. And it's important that we remember that. There is no requirement for you to come to our office to file an application to get that copyright work protected. It is automatic. The moment you commit it to some fixed material form, meaning you write it down. If you are have lyrics that you've written for a song, once you write that down in your notebook or type it out in your computer and your phone, that is automatically protected. So once it's been committed to some tangible format, don't leave it in your head. Remember, copyright protection does not protect ideas. You have to commit this expression of that idea. So you have to commit it to some material form. Once you've committed it to some material form, then you can mark that copyright material especially once it's published, if you put it online or on Instagram or Facebook, etc., mark it with your C, your name, and the year. And every year you just change the year, but continue with your copyright notice. This is called a copyright notice. And while it does not affect the rights in the Cayman Islands, it might be necessary in certain foreign countries to enforce your protection. If there is infringement in some other jurisdiction, it might be necessary that you would have had that copyright notice. So while it doesn't affect the protection, it is best to always put it when you publish your work online or in any public area, so that others may know that you are aware of your copyrights and that this work is copyright protected. It's a good practice as well. The question I often get asked when I say that copyright protection is automatic, well, how do I prove that I own this work? And what we always advise persons to do is to keep an audit trail. So keep records and evidence of any materials or work created. Sorry, that isn't clear there. And when you have to deal with any infringement matters, you would have all that materials or works created in order to show in court or present to your lawyer as evidence that you created your work. So if you are a creative person who likes to scribble on napkins or scribble on whatever, I guess, piece of paper you can find, etc., keep all of those as a part of your audit trail. The evidence, date them. If you came up with a draft of a drawing or a painting and you did it on a napkin quickly because the idea came to you suddenly, just make sure that you put a little date on the side of it so you can remember that you created it on that day, and keep a record of that with you so that if there's any infringement issue, you would have an audit trail of how you got from point A to the final creation of your work. And this helps to establish the subsistence and the ownership of copyright in infringement proceedings. I know you've probably heard of what they call the poor man's copyright, where you mail a copy of the work to yourself. And this is generally discouraged as it is not usually accepted by the courts. So it's important that you keep an audit trail of your work. Some persons would also say, if you have an attorney, you might deposit a copy of your work with an attorney. That might help for witness purposes and so on. But again, it's just important that you keep that audit trail of the history of how you got from the beginning of your work to the final creation. Another question I get asked often is reciprocity. How is my work protected if I create it here? Is it protected in another country? And we always say that intellectual property rights are territorial, with the exception of copyright, because of the Berne Convention. So for trademarks, patents, and designs, you would have to register in every country that you want the protection to apply. But with copyright, by virtue of the Berne Convention, which has been extended in the Cayman Islands, we recognize the copyright of 183 countries who are members of the Berne Convention, and vice versa. But because our copyright protection is limited to 70 years, if a country has protection for 100 years, we would only recognize their protection up to 70 years. So we would not give more protection to a foreign copyright protected work than we would to works created in the Cayman Islands. So the longest protection you can get in Cayman is 70 years, even if it's longer in another country or the country of origin. And this is called the comparison of terms. So work is protected in another country only for a term which does not exceed the term in that country. So 70 years in the Cayman Islands, if another country has 100 years, if the work is brought here, it's for 70 years protection. So what kind of rights do you have as the copyright holder? Copyright rights are divided into two areas. You have economic rights, which is the one that most persons are usually interested in, and then we have moral rights. Under economic rights, and if you remember earlier, I said that IP protection is treated as personal property. And by virtue of that, you have certain economic rights. The right of reproduction, including tape recording, copying, putting it on CDs, etc. You have that right. You have the right of public performance. You have the right of broadcasting, of communication to the public. And you also have the right to allow others to translate or adapt your work. Let's say it's a book, and if someone wants to adapt it into a film, you have the right to decide if you want that to be done. So these are your economic rights. And your economic rights can be assigned or licensed. Just to break that down a little bit more, you have the right to prevent others from copying your work, from distributing copies of it, whether for free or for sale, from renting or lending copies of your work, from performing, showing, or playing your work in public. If you are a musician, if you write poetry, you have the right to decide whether or not you want that work to be performed, showed, or played in public. You have the right to decide if you want an adaptation of your work. And you have the right to decide if you want your work to be put on the internet. So these are your economic rights. Now, as I said, your economic rights can be assigned or licensed. You can get royalties for adaptation of your work, for copying of your work, for showing your work. Your moral rights, however, stay with you for as long as you live and thereafter. Your moral rights are your right to be identified as the author, the right to object to derogatory treatment of your work. So if you have a painting, you can object to, even if you've sold it, you can object to derogatory treatment, defacing, etc. You have the right to be identified as the creator of the work. So, and to not be identified as the creator of a work. So you have the right to be identified as the author and to not be identified. Let's say it's something that would be disparaging to you and your reputation and it's being attributed to you. You have the right to object to that because of your moral rights. And you also have the right not to have copies of your work exhibited, broadcasted, or issued to the public. And like I said earlier, your moral rights cannot be assigned or licensed. Those are yours. Even if you've sold the work, you continue to have these rights in the work. So one of the right to privacy, the moral right to privacy often comes up, especially as it relates to photography. And if you've ever commissioned photographs or a film for a baby shower or your wedding or for any special occasion, you will know that sometimes the photographer will ask you to sign an agreement that allows them to distribute copies of that work to the public. So you have the right to privacy. And this right means that once you've commissioned photographs or a film for private or domestic purposes, you have the right to not have copies of that work issued to the public, to not have the work exhibited or shown in public, and to not have the work communicated to the public. So any person who does this without authorization infringes on your rights to privacy. As it relates to the right of communication to the public, this includes uploading the works to the internet, social media, without your permission, copying the material to USB drives, CDs, or hard drives, or any other media, printing, downloading materials, and issuing copies to the public. And this can only be performed, the right of communication to the public can only be performed by third parties once they have the authorization of the rights holder. So if you are the rights holder, which in this case you would be if you have the right to communication to the public, you would first have to give them a license in order to do these things. The right of public performance is, when we say performance, that includes live performance. So if it's a play, radio and TV broadcasts, films and advertisements, streaming online, downloading of the public performance, ringtones and hold music for phone systems would also require a license, and just any acoustic or visual presentation of a work for those who are present at a place of performance. And when it relates to public performance, the public means a large number of people who do not qualify as your family or your closest social acquaintances. So if it is you have made a video of something and you are doing a little screening for your close friends and family in your backyard, then that would not be public performance. But if you have it opened to persons who do not qualify as your family or your closest social acquaintance, then that, or if the person who is showing your work, it doesn't qualify as family or close social acquaintance, then you would have the right to object to that because they would be infringing on your intellectual property rights or your copyright protection. So you've heard me say infringement. What is infringement? So there are two different types of infringement under copyright law. there's primary infringement and there's secondary infringement. Primary infringement, and this will all sound familiar because it goes back to your economic rights. The right, if somebody copies your work, that is primary infringement. If they issue copies to the public, and that includes electronic copies, putting it on the internet for you to download, that would be an infringement. Lending or renting copies of your work, performing, showing, or playing, communicating to the public, or making an adaptation. And again, all these things would be done without your permission. If you've given a license for persons to do these things, then it would not be an infringement. And so whenever you are giving persons the right to use your work, I always encourage persons to have that in writing and to be very specific about the use. If it is for one event, specify that in your agreement. If it is a non-exclusive license, if it is an exclusive license, if it is only for the Cayman Islands or if it's for the Cayman Islands and the U.S., just be very specific as to the terms of your use so that there is no gray area and that you are aware of how long that period is for as well. If it is for 1 year, if it is for one showing, just be very specific in your agreement when you are licensing your work. Secondary infringement can also occur. So if you take copies of a copyright protected work and you import those infringing copies, you would be guilty of secondary infringement. If you possess or deal with infringing copies, so you got fake DVDs and you are selling them or you have them in your possession and you are reported to the Department of Commerce and Investment, who are the enforcement agency for copyright, then that would be a secondary infringement, providing the means to make infringing copies. So if you are providing the device to burn the DVDs or I don't know what the new way of doing these things are in this modern era, but if you are providing the means for that to be done, then you could be guilty of secondary infringement. Permitting the use of your premises for an infringing performance. So if you have a bar or restaurant and you allow someone to perform some copyright protected work and they do not have permission, you could be guilty of secondary infringement. And again, providing the apparatus for an infringing performance. So that would be providing the microphone or the DJ table, etc. You could be guilty of secondary infringement. So there's primary and there's secondary infringement. And there are penalties under the law, including fines, sometimes up to $10,000, imprisonment. I can't remember the years. I think it's 2 or 5 years or up to 10 years. But it is both a criminal offense and it can be a civil offense as well. So if somebody is infringing on your copyright, you can report them if you want to take criminal proceedings, or you can take them to civil court for remedies, for damages, for them to give you all the profits they've made from selling infringing copies of your work, etc. Infringement. I've often heard persons speak about, well, I only copied 10% of the work. This is very inaccurate. Under copyright law, there is no quantitative test for infringement. It is on a case-by-case basis, and it depends on how substantial the part of the work is that the person has infringed. So it can be the entire work, or it can be a small portion of the work. What substantial means is that you've taken the author's intellectual creation, and this is determined by the quality. It's a qualitative test. So this means the infringement may be small. It might be a book and you've only taken one very small piece of that book, but it might be a small but important portion of that book. And so it's a qualitative and not quantitative test. So it's not about taking a book and copying 10% of it and distributing that and I am safe. No, it's a qualitative test. And it depends on the, how much, how substantial that portion of the work that the person has copied is. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. There are things that you can do with copyright protected works that would be considered fair dealing. And that includes personal copying for private use, if you're a student, if you are doing some research or private study and you're not planning to sell the work that you've copied, text and data mining for non-commercial research, criticizing or reviewing and reporting current events, so journalism, educational use by schools, universities, or other educational establishments. If you're doing a presentation at school and you need to use a portion of some copyright protected work, or a teacher, these all fall under the fair dealing defense. Helping disabled people by making a braille copy is an exception under the law. Time shifting, which means recording that TV show or movie to watch at a later date privately, is also allowed. Parody, caricature, and pastiche is considered fair dealing, used by libraries and archives, and government, public administration may use copyright protected works, and that would fall under fair dealing. If you're making backup copies or decompiling, observing, testing, studying, or correcting errors of computer programs, that's considered fair dealing as well. And any acts that are necessary to access the use of contents of a database would be fair dealing. Using a design to make a product is considered fair dealing. Creating backup copies of ebooks when originals are no longer usable. So in the case of a library, if it's a book that is very, very old and not in print anymore, creating ebooks of that original would be fair dealing, or archives would be fair dealing. Making notes or recordings for the purpose of recording current events would also be considered fair dealing. Some more exceptions under the fair dealing rule would be publicly reciting a reasonable extract from a published literary or dramatic work, using abstracts of scientific and technical articles, and when it's difficult to identify the authors or to ascertain if the copyright has expired. So you might not know whether this book or this poem is still copyright protected, or it's difficult to identify. No one knows who the author is. It's an orphan work. Then it would be considered fair dealing to do that work. You see, there are a lot of fair dealing exceptions, including for broadcasting, recording for the purposes of supervision, incidental recording for broadcasting by an authorized broadcaster, time shifting, which we spoke about earlier, private use of photograph of an image of a broadcast, and then retransmission by cable. When you are wondering if your use falls under fair dealing, you must take into account the nature of the work. Is it published or unpublished? The extent, as I said, how substantial is the portion of the work that you have used? Does it affect the commercial value of the work by you using it? If it affects the commercial value, then it's more likely to not be treated as fair dealing. And what is the purpose or the character of your use? Does it fall under one of these exceptions? I have here, I know we had also wanted to speak to use of work online, and I found here a site that I wanted to share with you guys that speaks to the use of your copyright protected work on social media, because I know as creators, most persons would post their work on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And here, this is a small business website that gives advice to creatives as it relates to different areas of business. And it says the best way to protect your intellectual property from being appropriated on social media is to not put it up there in the first place. Of course, that's easier said than done, because that's how we would get our work out there as creators. So, once you've put your work out there, you want to make sure that you have your copyright statement front and center, put your C, your name, and your year, so that persons are aware that your copyright work is protected. For most of these sites, they have what they call a DMCA takedown notice, where you can notify Facebook, Instagram, etc., that this work is copyright protected and that you'd like it to be taken down. In the case of these social media sites, you have to be vigilant, because if you fail to track your work and notify them as soon as possible, then it might be hard for you to get the work taken down. So you want to be quick to file your complaints. The process is that you send a notice. They would have the takedown notice you could do that to the ISP web host or to Facebook, etc., and then they would have it taken down. On island, if you have issues with local infringement, then the best thing would be to contact that person, tell them that the copyright work is protected, and if they can, please take it down. If they refuse, then you would get an attorney. And on our website, we have quite a few what we call registered agents, persons who are licensed by our office to deal with intellectual property in the Cayman Islands. So you get one of them to assist you with sending a cease and desist letter. If the person continues with their infringement, then you would decide along with your attorney if you want to go the route of taking criminal action, making a complaint to DCI, or if you would like to take civil remedies, meaning you will file an infringement claim in court and take them to court for infringement. Here it says that social media like Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest allow online posting of material that may be copyrighted. The site does not own the work, but keep in mind that when you post your work on these sites, you are giving them a non-exclusive license to use your work for a variety of purposes. So Facebook can use your work in an ad, they can display it, they can adopt it, they can copy it. Because when you sign those little terms and conditions, I know most of us don't read them. We just scroll across and click agree. But in there is your intellectual property rights, and you are giving them a license to use your work. Same for Twitter. Their terms of service says that the content is the sole responsibility of the person who originated the content, but they reserve the right to remove it. So there's also takedown notices if there's copyright infringement on Twitter, as well as for Facebook. And when we agree to the terms and conditions of Facebook, it says that you grant us a non-exclusive, transferable, sublicensable, royalty-free, worldwide license to host, use, distribute, modify, run, copy, publicly perform, display, translate, and create derivative works of your content. So Facebook has the right to do all these things. So sometimes you might hear that your work is being featured on an ad on Facebook with some other brand or company, because once you have put your work on there, then you've given them these rights. And it's the same for most social media sites. So it's important that you keep track of your work that you've posted on these sites, and ensure that you are just keeping vigilant if you want to limit how your work is shared. That's it. I will just put the website on here again, which is www.ciipo.gov.ky. I have our number here if you would like to speak to one of us for general copyright questions or IP questions, and you can always also shoot us an email at info@ciipo.gov.ky, and we would be happy to answer any of your questions. I'll turn it over to Paige now if we have any questions.
Thank you so much. Yes, so if you have any questions, feel free to chime in now, or if you'd like to type them in the chat, that's fine as well.
I see someone had a question here about the poor man copyright. I think I mentioned that in the presentation. So we generally discourage that. And unfortunately, at this time, SIPA doesn't have a depository facility. That is something we are considering in the future, where you can deposit a copy of your work and get a certificate. But since that is not in place at the moment, then it is best for you to, like I said, keep audit trail of that work, and perhaps speak to an attorney about depositing a copy of that work with them, so that you could have that audit trail for if there are any infringing issues. There are penalties for someone performing a work that isn't theirs. Unfortunately, I forgot to look up what the penalties are, but as I said earlier, it's both a criminal and a civil matters. So it's up to you and what route you want to take. They can be fined if they are found guilty, or they can be imprisoned. But there are penalties. do you have a list of the places that the CI recognizes their copyright? So if you go, if you just type in the Berne Convention, you will see the list of the 183 countries that are parties to the Berne Convention. It is almost every country in the world that copyright protection is applied, and that's reciprocal. They would recognize the copyright protection of Cayman and vice versa. We would recognize theirs.
So I had a question about the audit trails. I know you said to keep, you know, like the physical, if we're talking about 2D artwork, for instance, signing the work on the back, dating it. But do you also keep kind of like a list or an Excel document going just to, does that count as an audit trail as well? Just
Yes. So if you are an artist and you have titles of all your works, the dates you created them, the materials, etc., you keep an Excel document of all your paintings, for example, the titles of them, the dates you started it, the dates you completed it, what materials you use and all these things. And maybe you would also want to take a photograph of that painting, for example, have that also in your Dropbox box, etc., so that you have that audit trail of all the creation of the work, and you can say, well, see, I have it here in my Excel document that this is, these are the works that were created by me.
Okay, great. Thank you. Do we have any other questions? Ethan has raised his hand.
Not so much copyright and ownership related, but more like on a collaboration. If I had someone help me with a project, you know, we both agreed to work on it. Do both of us have rights to claim, not ownership of, but like, can the person who helped me acknowledge that they worked on it? Like, is that okay?
Yeah. So you can be joint authors of a work, and author isn't just, limited to books. We call anyone who creates a copyright work to be an author. And you can be joint authors, or you can have several persons who are authors of a work. So you can jointly be creators of that work. And if you are jointly creators, then you would need both owners' permission in order to use the work. If the person only contributed, maybe you think that they only contributed a small portion, then that's something you'd have to work out about not having them listed as the work. But if they helped you to create that work, then they can be listed as a co-owner or a co-author.
Okay. Would that be at the discretion of the designer, the sole designer, or?
I guess that would, yes, that would be something that you would work out between yourself and the other person. So like I said, if they only maybe gave you one little idea as to how to tweak something, then you might not list them as a co-creator. But if you worked on it jointly, let's say it's a painting or a sculpture and you were both adding to it equally, or mostly equally, then you would want them to be co-author. Again, it's an agreement. It would be an agreement between yourself and the co-creator.
Thank you.
I have a link in the chat for a list of the countries that are signatory to the Berne. So if you click on that link, you will see it's quite a few countries that we would have protection extended to.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have a question now from Kay Smith.
Hi, I just want to make sure I've got this right. So if I sell a commissioned work, I still keep the intellectual rights and can produce copies of that said work?
Yes. So as long as that's within the agreement that you have with the person who you've sold the work to. So sometimes when persons have commissioned work, if you don't have an agreement listing it, then you might run into a bit more issues. And so it's important that when you're selling that commissioned work, you have an agreement saying that while I'm selling that work to you, I am retaining the right to make copies. I'm retaining the right to communicate that work to the public. And so that right stays with you unless you have assigned that right to the person who commissioned the work.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
These are some great questions. Are there any other questions for Mrs. Westby? Well, if you do come up with any questions, be sure to contact Mrs. Westby. or you can always email me as well, and I will send your question along. So with that, I want to thank you again so much, Candace, for coming and joining our session tonight and sharing all of your knowledge on this topic, which is just so immense. I learned a lot. Feel free. Yes,
please feel free to reach out to us. We are located in the Government Admin Building, in the General Registry Department on the ground floor. If you email us, we're a small team, but we promise you will get a response within 24 hours of sending your email. And you can also go on our website and find more information there. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, I see a question. Can you copyright written works in groups? There is no maximum as to the amount of authors you can have in a work, and I guess we can think about like films. You will see the production listing at the end of a film, so many different writers, etc. All these persons would have some rights in that work, so there is no limit as to the maximum of the number of persons who can claim ownership in a work. So thank you, Paige, and everybody else who attended tonight. I hope the information provided was informative. And again, please do reach out to our office if you have any questions.
Thank you so much again. And thank you everybody for joining. We hope to see you at the next Business of Art. So do stay in touch.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Art Beat, a show by the National Gallery of the Cayman Islands. Tune in next week for another conversation on Caymanian art. And until then, re-listen to all past episodes at nationalgallery.org.ky/learn or visit us from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Saturday, where admission is always free.
Host your holiday events at the National Gallery. Whether you're throwing a corporate party or small gathering, we have the perfect venue for your festive celebration, from our beautiful sculpture gardens to exhibition halls and art studio. For inquiries, contact events at nationalgallery.org.ky or call 345-945-8111.
Become a National Gallery volunteer and enjoy access to creative experiences while making a difference in our community. Volunteers play a key role in the gallery's success, from greeting visitors in our exhibition hall to working events and helping with our education programs. There are many ways to support. We offer flexible opportunities and training for all volunteers. Sign up by emailing info@nationalgallery.org.ky or visiting our website at nationalgallery.org.ky.